watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. And felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree. Trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need. He is my strong tower. Strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. He is my strong tower. The strength in my
Amen. Thank you, ladies. That's the green ladies. Now, that's not the Al Gore type green. That's the real green ladies. Amen. Mama green, daughter green, and daughter-in-law green. Amen. That's a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. While you're finding your place, this is a little hot. While you're finding your place, let me say thank you to Mrs. Sanders and Mrs. Ramirez for volunteering to go over to Brother Thon Nye's house and clean it. He had not been able to live in it for some time, and I understand that they did an outstanding job, and it's something they did out of love and gratitude for someone that couldn't do nothing to help themselves, and that's such a blessing to me. And they discovered that when they got there, his refrigerator was out, and I understand they came back and talked to other members of the family and said, let's pray that God will provide. And that member of the family said, well, I've got a refrigerator and an upright freezer in the garage that they can have. And so it took care of it. That, you don't know what it does to your preacher to hear people in our church showing concern and compassion and being generous and gracious in helping someone else that's not able to help themselves, especially within our church family. And I got another report about someone that helped a lady in our church with transportation. Such a blessing, such a blessing. And most of the time, they want this to be confidential. And it gets back to the preacher. And without saying anybody's name, I just want you to know what a blessing it is to your preacher. And if it does my heart good like that, I can imagine how God feels about it. And just thank you for your generosity and your kindness. God bless your heart. Now then, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 21, and we'll read through verse 27. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Now the first thing that popped into my mind when I read verse 22 is I had a kid like that. Made you walk with God once that's born. You needed all the help you could get to raise them, yeah. But Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now turn, if you will, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read in verse number 5, and the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, there's one other place that Enoch is mentioned, and that's in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And turn there, if you will, to the book of Jude. And we'll begin to read in verse number 14. Now this is Jude writing under divine inspiration and God speaking through Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. And he said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. So here we have just in two verses a prophecy, a statement from attributed to Enoch, the man who walked with God. Last Wednesday night I preached from the same passage dealing with Methuselah, the sad long life of Methuselah. There's no evidence he had a relationship with God. Nothing in the Bible says so. The Bible says he lived longer than anybody else and had sons and daughters. He just lived and had kids and died. His name meant, Methuselah's name meant, and it was given to him by the prophet Enoch. Enoch prophesied. Methuselah, it meant when he dies, judgment is coming. And it's talking about the flood. And then Jude talks about Enoch prophesying about the ungodly and God's judgment upon them. So I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on the subject Enoch, the man who walked with God. Not much is said about him. What is said exalts him as a man who found favor with God. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message to use it, please, to challenge each of our hearts to walk with you. Lord, in reality, it ought to be easier for us to walk with you than it ever was for Enoch. We have a good church. We have Bible preaching. We have fellow Christians to encourage us. We have good examples before us. We have the Word of God, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in your guidance and with your blessings and with your presence. God, help us not to make excuses for our carnality, our worldliness, our laziness, our indifference. But I pray that you'd move us to come to that place where, like Enoch, we would begin that incredible journey that took him out of this world and into your very presence, alive. Lord, that's what I look for. Every one of us who are here today have the promise that you're coming back again. And in reality, we who are living today could be translated like Enoch was at your second coming. Thank you for that prospect, for that blessed hope we have. And Lord, help us to learn while we wait for your coming to walk with God. Thank you for what you shall do in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In just 6 verses, the Bible sets forth the brief biography of this Old Testament saint, who is a picture of every Christian who will be raptured without dying. Thank God for that blessed hope. In a world more wicked than anything we've known in our lifetime, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch didn't have a church to support him in his walk with God. He didn't have a close Christian friend to encourage him. His decision to walk with God was probably made when Methuselah was born, and the prophet was told to give his firstborn son a name that meant when he dies, judgment is coming. Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65 years old. And for the next 300 years after the birth of Enoch, he walked with God. I wonder if you've ever taken the Word of God as seriously as Enoch took his. The Bible simply says that Methuselah was born, and for the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. I believe personally that Enoch believed exactly what God told him to name him. He believed it was coming to pass. He believed that when Methuselah died, judgment was going to come. And it did. It did. Methuselah died, And Noah was put in the ark, he and his family, the door sealed, and it started to rain. And every living creature on the earth that was not in the ark died in the flood. Enoch believed God. You say, how you know it? How do you know that? Bible says in Hebrews, by faith, Enoch. By faith. How do we know there's a God? By faith. How do we know that God created the heavens and earth? By faith. Faith hinges on the Word of God, and the Word of God hinges on the honesty of God Himself. God said it, and we believe it. Enoch believed it. And it was at this time that Enoch's walk with God began, and it continued for the rest of his life, 300 years. By the way, Enoch was alive. Well, let me say it this way. Adam was alive when Enoch was alive. Their life overlaps by about 113 years, I believe. And Enoch would have been acquainted with Adam and Eve and the tragic story of their family. Little is said about Enoch in the Bible, but what is said is the greatest testimony a person can have. Remember, this is not just Moses writing this in Genesis. This is God speaking through Moses, His servant, to record His word for us. So, don't just say Moses said, God said. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Now, I want you to consider some simple facts about Enoch and his walk with God. First of all, in order to walk with God, Enoch had to stand alone. He had no other example of somebody walking with God. You say, but the Bible says Noah walked with God. Yes, but that was after Enoch. Noah had Enoch as an example. Enoch did not have an example of someone walking with God. It was a wicked world. It was a world that was more wicked than we can imagine. The Bible says every imagination of their heart was continually wicked all day long. You say it can't be as bad as the world is today. God hadn't judged us yet. He hadn't ended it yet. I believe the time of Enoch and the time of Noah was worse than it is right now. I don't believe we've ever known a time as bad as Enoch knew. And yet the Bible says he walked with God, and to walk with God he had to stand alone. Or he could have been like some of you and used peer pressure as an excuse not to. But he didn't. He just walked with God. He didn't have a buddy to walk with him. He didn't have someone to encourage him. The only person at this time in the Bible that walked with God was Enoch. He had to stand alone. It's estimated that there were approximately 2 billion people on the earth at the time of the flood. It's recorded in Scripture that Noah walked with God, but that was after Enoch. Noah had an example of a man walking with God in a wicked world. He knew of Enoch's walk and translation into heaven without dying. But Enoch had to stand alone. If he was to walk with God in his day, he had to do it by himself. And by the way, he did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He did not have the Bible. He did not have a church to attend and encourage him. He had to stand alone. But he ordered his life in such a manner so that he could walk with a thrice holy God in a day when nobody else was doing it. As a Christian, he was not content to go along with the world and the way they lived. So he walked alone with God. But he walked with God. You talking about a man doing something that was extraordinary in his day? Enoch's walk with God without translation was an extraordinary thing. Because there was pulling on every side, temptation on every side, mocking on every side, no example. But he stood alone and he walked with God. And God rewarded him. And by the way, let me say very plainly that God has not ceased to reward and bless his people that will walk with him. You go throughout the history of the Word of God and you go out through current history and you find people walking with God, you'll still see God's hand of blessing and protection and watch care and prosperity over them. God still blesses his people that walk with God. Enoch did not have to turn to the world to satisfy his desires. He found all that his soul craved when he walked with God. He found excitement. He was a pioneer. Nobody else had ever walked before him like he walked. He was a pioneer. And he walked with God. Excitement. There was suspense. Nobody else was doing it. What was around the corner or what was in the next day? He didn't know. He just walked by faith. It was exciting. It was suspenseful. It was an adventure. That walk took Enoch on a journey, on the journey of all time. One day, on his walk, he just suddenly got light of feet and kept on walking right up into the presence of God. Enoch walked with God. Now, in a world that was awaiting death and judgment, that's what Enoch knew. When Methuselah dies, judgment is coming. I mean, Methuselah, his son's name, is connected with death and judgment. Every time he looked at his son or held his son, he knew that this son was connected with death and judgment. God had said so. Nobody else was walking with God. In a world waiting death and judgment, Enoch enjoyed a peace and a joy the rest of the world did not know. And I want you to know he was one cool dude in a hot, tough time. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Enoch considered his walk with God worthwhile, and he was willing to stand alone. Nobody else was doing it, but Enoch was willing to stand for God and walk with God. How different are we today from Enoch? We want to be like everybody else. But Enoch said, I want to walk with God. And you let me tell you, friends, none of you can be like everybody else and walk with God. You're going to have to stand alone. Some of your family won't understand. Some of your aunts and uncles won't understand. Some of your brothers and sisters won't understand. It may be your mom and daddy won't understand. Your sons and daughters won't understand. But God would have us walk with Him. And still in 2010, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to be willing to stand alone. I was thinking as I was preparing this message, he must have had a theme song for his walk. I think it was this. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Remember that old song? I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts and tries to turn me around, he's offered me everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want and worldly fame, But if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. To walk with God, Enoch had to stand alone. Secondly, I want you to consider what is implied by the statement, Enoch walked with God. What's implied by that statement? Now you think through it. Here is a man on earth in a wicked, sinful world when every human being that's ever been born sinners. We have that nature to sin. And when we get old enough to make our own choice, we willfully choose to sin. Enoch was no different. He was born into this kind of a world. But the Bible says about this incredible man, Enoch walked with God. And there's some things that are implied by that statement that we need to consider. First of all, walking with God implies reconciliation. Reconciliation. See, man separated from God because of our sin. All of us have the same problem. It's a sin problem. And we got that from Daddy, and Daddy got it from his daddy all the way back to Daddy Abraham. We're born sinners with that sin nature. And a holy, holy, holy God cannot fellowship with sin, sin, sin. Before a sinful man can have a relationship with God, before a sinful man can walk with God, reconciliation has to take place. The Bible tells us because of our sin, there is enmity between man and God and God and man. Something unbelievable, something out of this world, something beyond our understanding had to take place in order for reconciliation to take place. We can read about it in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 12, that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Yeah, to walk with God implies reconciliation. Question is asked in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is a resounding no, they cannot. Therefore, there's got to be agreement on the sinner's part with God before reconciliation can take place. There's got to be agreement as to the way a sinner can walk with a holy God. And that way is made available to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. Jesus Christ made it possible for a sinner that's an enemy to God. And God, who is an enemy to the sinner, might be brought together in the cross. And the enmity is done away. And peace is bonded. It's forged in that old rugged cross where Jesus took God's judgment against our sin and paid for it. So we could be forgiven, saved, born again. Yeah, the way a sinner can walk with God, there had to be agreement as to the way. You know, God can say, now, here is my way. And by the way, God has said, this is my way. But here's the problem. Too many men and women are saying, no, I want to do it this way. And there can be no reconciliation until we come to the place where we agree with God as to our need. We're sinners. As to the way sin is dealt with through Jesus Christ. There has to be agreement as to the way we receive Christ. Not by works of righteousness, but by faith, Enoch. By faith. May I say to you, if salvation was made available and reconciliation was made available any other way than on the merits of grace, by faith, none of us could have a relationship with God. Even the faith with which we believe is a gift of God. It implies reconciliation. It implies agreeing with God as to the way of receiving this reconciliation, and that is by faith. There had to be agreement with God about our sin problem and our relationship to God. I can't imagine anyone that would believe this, but people do believe this. They've said to me, well, I haven't sinned. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have no trouble understanding I'm a sinner. But I've talked to people and witnessed to people that said, we're not a sinner. I remember witnessing to a family in Metairie, Louisiana. And the man said, oh no, I'm not a sinner. And what surprised me, the woman chimed in and says, that's right, he's never sinned. Now I promise you, my wife would never say that. I have no problem knowing that I'm a sinner. And I've got a sneaking suspicion, neither do you. But John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He goes on in that same chapter to say, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. For it's God, first and foremost, that says we are sinners. Enoch didn't have a walk with God because he won an argument with God. Enoch agreed with God that he was a sinner. He agreed with God that it was only by faith in God's provision for sinners that a sinner could be reconciled to God. Enoch walked with God, and that walk with God implies reconciliation. Secondly, Enoch's walk with God implies perseverance. Some of you get saved and have trouble being faithful to God for a year. Enoch walked with God 300 years. That walk with God implies perseverance. When you have trouble with your walk with God, it is because there's too much of the world and the flesh still in us. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Perseverance. Not just an hour a day, not just an hour or two a week, but every hour of every day for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. He started out on that journey, he walked with God and just kept on walking. So wonder what he's doing today. I believe he's walking with God in heaven. Enoch walked through his joys and through his sorrows. He walked through his pains and sickness. He walked when things were good and when things were bad. But Enoch just walked with God. It implies perseverance. Well, preacher, couldn't make it Sunday. Let me stop right here and say to those of you that have been without electricity and you're here today, and you're smiling, God bless you. And I say that not because you've done something extraordinary. You've done what every one of us ought to be willing to do in the same situation. Persevere. Just keep on. Faithfulness does not mean faithful unless. Enoch just kept on walking. It implies perseverance. It also implies, Enoch's walk with God implies a moral fitness. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't live with your mind in the gutter and walk with Jesus. Can't do it. It implies a moral fitness. Enoch had to be close to the wavelength God was on. Isn't it wonderful when our hearts are right with God and we can walk in concord with Him? We don't have to fight with Him over things. Well, God, my opinion is. Well, God, that's Old Testament. I don't believe it's for today. No. Enoch said, Lord, if it please you, I'll do it. There wasn't any fighting, any fussing. Lord, if it'll just help me be more like you, I'll do it. If it'll help separate me from the world, I'll do it. Don't have to have 40 scriptures. Don't have to have a preacher preaching on it every week. I just want to walk with God. It implies a moral fitness. A moral fitness. His heart was right. His head was right. He didn't spend half of his day on Facebook. That's the reason some of you will never walk with God, because you're too concerned about everybody else's business and you're not taking care of the business of your relationship with Jesus Christ or the care of your own family. You wouldn't drink a drink of liquor. You wouldn't smoke a joint, but you're as hooked on Twitter or Tweeter or Facebook or whatever those things are. I don't know. I don't know how to get on them. I don't know what they're called, but I do know I see people everywhere. Or they're at their computer. I wonder how many of you are stealing time from your employer because you're using their time to get on that internet mess. More concerned about what's going on out there with other people than you are about your relationship with God. A moral fitness. It implies a moral fitness. His thoughts were ever turned to God and His will for Enoch. His words and actions were the same. He wasn't talking one talk and walking a different walk. A moral fitness. Enoch's walk with God implies a surrendered will. Enoch gave up his own will and yielded to God's will. And by the way, that's not an abnormal thing. That is the normal thing. Amen. The abnormal thing is for you to live your will against God's will. You see, we were created by God for God. We were created to bring Him glory as we yield to His will and serve Him. But our problem is we want to do our thing instead of surrender to His will. And then our life falls apart and we'll say, I just don't know where I went wrong. I'll tell you where you went wrong. You followed your will instead of yielding to God's will. A surrendered will. Enoch gave up his will and yielded to God's will. Enoch made God Lord. Boss, master of his life. He laid aside the flesh and yielded totally to God. And the result was Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And God translated him alive into heaven. A surrendered will. Next, Enoch's walk with God implies spiritual communion. So what do you mean? It doesn't mean that Enoch partook of the Lord's Supper every day. It meant that he had a relationship with him. He kept in touch. Oh, I don't know how to get a hold of God. Well, just stay in touch. Just stay in touch. Enoch had a spiritual communion. To walk means to make steady progress. And no doubt it was not as easy when he began as it was the day he got translated. The further we walk with God, the easier it is to walk with God. The more of self you give up, the easier it is to walk with God. The more of your will you hold on to, the more you struggle when you walk with God, trying to walk with God. Spiritual communion. He started his walk with God and he made steady progress until God said, Enoch, just come on up here and let's walk together. And Enoch's still making steady progress in his walk with God. A spiritual communion. Enoch's walk with God also implies a walk by faith. Now, that's not just an implication. The Bible says it. By faith, Enoch. By faith. He believed God, he obeyed God, and he pleased God. It was a life of faith. We need a walk by faith in the difficult times we live in today. And I want you to know it is still possible for God's children to walk with God. Let me rephrase that. It is more possible today than it ever was in Enoch's day for a person to walk with God. We have a greater opportunity and a greater resources in our walk than Enoch ever dreamed of having. And yet, we struggle from Sunday to Sunday in our relationship with God. Enoch walked by faith. Wonder if he understood everything. Faith is not understanding everything. Faith is trusting God, believing God. That's enough. That's enough. God didn't call us to be scientists. He called us to be Christians who walk by faith. We don't have to see the result in a test tube. We just need to learn to believe God and trust God. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. It's a walk by faith. Now, lastly, what are the results of any Christian walking with God? What are the results of any Christian walking with God? First of all, there's a correspondency of nature. You say, what does that mean? It means the longer one person begins to live with another person and spends time with that other person, he begins to act like that person and think like that person. Their natures begin to correspond. Mrs. Smith and I have been married 51 years, going on our 52nd anniversary in June. And I'm telling you, she knows what I'm thinking when I'm thinking it. Sometimes when I start to say something, she'll finish it before I say it. That didn't happen because we've been together 2 weeks. Mom and Dad were married 65 years when Daddy went to heaven. They thought alike. One knew what the other was thinking before they said it. And they got to the place where they kind of look alike. And I'm hoping that I'll start looking like my wife, because I think my wife's a beautiful lady. I'm not wanting to be beautiful. But I would like to be better looking, so I'm hoping there's a correspondency of nature there. Moses met with the Lord on the mound, and he came down from being in the presence of the glory of the hinder part of God, and his face shined. He had to cover it. People couldn't stand it because of the presence of the glory of God that shined on Moses. Saul saw the glory of the light of Christ's presence on the Damascus Road, and it changed his entire life and eternity. He is never the same. A walk with God will affect us in a very similar way. The more we walk with Him, the more we'll begin to think like Him and act like Him. And by the way, has anyone ever said lately that you resemble Jesus? That you reminded them of God? When we walk with God over a period of time, as with Enoch, there's a correspondency of nature. We begin to take on His identity, His spirit. That's what thrills me about people willing to serve. Clean a house. Help someone in need. Meet a need in somebody's life. That's not natural in the flesh. The natural thing is to get all I can and can all I get so I can get some more. But the godlike thing is to give, to serve, to care. Correspondency of nature. A walk with God always results in growth in grace. So, man, I wish I knew all about the Bible. Well, you're not going to get that knowledge in a day or a week. You're going to spend some time with God. You're going to spend some years with God. But a walk with God always results in growth in grace. And by the way, our Christian life ought to be characterized by the two words, learning and growing. Learning and growing. If you stop learning and growing, you start dying and backsliding. So a walk with God implies and results in growth in grace. You'll never be the same again if you learn to walk with God in your life. Suddenly, you'll have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. You'll have the Holy Spirit of God leading you. You'll know direction and help that you've never known before. You'll experience a compassion and concern for others that you've never experienced before. You'll want to see people saved. See, that doesn't come with the world. That doesn't come with joining the church. That comes with a walk with God, a growth in grace. Another thing that is the result of a walk with God is a hatred for sin. I can tell you right now, when you have that growing hunger for the things of the world, you're telling me that you don't have much of a relationship with God. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this evil world. He didn't have a walk with God. And didn't have a continuing service for God because of the world. When you walk with God, you'll also develop a hatred for what He hates. And the Bible says He hates sin. He's angry with the sinner all day, every day. You say, oh, God doesn't hate sinners, He hates sin. Best I understand, He hates the liar. according to Proverbs 6. That's what God said. You going to argue with Him? I'm simply saying to you, is if we have a relationship with God and we walk with God, it'll result in a growing hatred for sin. Yes, we'll have compassion. Yes, we'll care about people. God hated sin, but He loved sinners to the point He gave His Son to die for them. Something's wrong in our life when we hate sin and we just want to see everybody blown off into hell. God hated sin so much that He took it and put it on His Son and paid for it so sinners would not be cursed in hell, but forgiven and saved and have life everlasting with Him in heaven. Have no doubt about it, if you have a relationship with God, you're going to love what He loves and you're going to hate what He hates. One cannot love God and walk with God without hating sin and the world we live in, the world system. A walk with God makes one conscious of his own needs. The closer you get to God, the more you'll see your sinfulness and your unworthiness. The closer you get to God, the least little imperfections in our life stands out to us more. Remember Isaiah in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He saw Him in His holiness and His glory and His majesty, and then he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. A walk with God makes one conscious of his own need. And then a walk with God produces a Christian witness. A walk with God produces a Christian witness. I don't believe Enoch was walking around saying to all the reprobates of his day, hey, look at me, I'm walking with God. I don't believe he was filled with pride. I don't believe he was boastful and braggadocious about it, but he just walked with God and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. He was a witness of a man walking with God in a world going to judgment and to hell. By the way, when your life's over, what'll people remember about you? I don't know if Enoch was a wealthy man. I don't even know how many kids he had. He had sons and daughters, all I know. That's all the Bible says. Only gives the name of one. I don't know if he owned property or owned cattle. But I know something about him. He walked with God. He walked with God. He had a witness. And he still is a witness in a world who desperately needs to learn to walk with God today. And then lastly, a walk with God results in a deep, settled peace and joy that cannot be found anywhere else. Now, something's wrong with your walk if it's producing pride. If you have to wear your arm in a sling every other day because you throw it out of joint, patting yourself on the back because you're so proud of your Christian life, something's wrong with what you call your Christian life. Let me tell you, when we honestly, truthfully walk with God, there is a peace in here that words cannot explain. There is a joy bell that rings. There is a source of joy that the world cannot know and I can't describe. It comes from Him. Oh, it doesn't matter what the situation is or the circumstances are. Walk with God results in a deep, settled peace and joy that cannot be found anywhere else. And you know the sad thing about it? The devil's lied to you and said the joy and the happiness and the fulfillment is in the world. And you believed his lie. But those of you that know how to walk with God, you know a joy and a peace that the world will never know. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's the result of my walk with God. I've been married to that woman now for almost 52 years, and I love her far more today than I loved her when I married her. And yet I can't explain the depth of my love for her. But I love her. And I've known my Lord longer than I've known my wife. And there is a love and a joy and a peace that comes from that relationship that human tongue cannot adequately convey. But it's real in here. Just like my love for my wife is real in here. And it produces something the world cannot give you. All the need today in 2010 is for there to be some men and women. Names don't have to be Enoch. Sue and Bill and Jane and John and George and Mary and whatever your name is, who will determine, I'm going to be that Christian in my day that walks with God. The Bible does not say that Enoch walked with God all 365 years of his life. He was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. He died at 365, and for 300 years he walked with God. There was a time that Enoch said, that's it. I'm not going to be like the rest of that crowd out there. I'm going to major on my relationship with my God. I'm going to get up and live for him today. After all, God told me when he dies, judgment is coming. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God today like it's the last day of my life. Amen. And there was a time when that started in his life. I wasn't born walking with God, but there was a time when I made a real conscious decision to give God that preeminent place in my life and to follow his will for my life. Enoch did that and started a journey that lasted 300 years until God said, Enoch, come on up here, buddy. We're going to walk together on Hallelujah Boulevard today. Come on up here. You know what God would like for me and you? If you've never made that conscious decision to live your life for God, to live in His perfect will, to walk with Him, and not just do what you want to do. Has there ever been that time when you made that conscious decision to say, God, from this day forward, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you first place, priority place, preeminent place in my life. From this day forward, not my will, but thine be done. I'm here to tell you it's an incredible journey. There's no astronauts ever sat in the nose of a space capsule or a rocket ship and took off into outer space that had an adventure more exciting, more suspenseful, more wonderful than a man or a woman in this old wicked world who decides, I'm going to walk with God. And I'm going to begin today. You say, what if I stumble tomorrow? I told you it wouldn't be easy starting out. It'll be a lot easier as you go along. But you've always got to make that conscious effort. You say, what if I blow it? Well, get up. Get down, get right, and get back up and start walking again. I didn't learn to walk the first time I tried as a baby. and neither did you. I didn't learn to ride a bicycle until I was 13 years old. There wasn't a bicycle in our community, and I didn't have one until I was 13. But I got one for my 13th birthday. A blue and white Western Flyer. I didn't know it was second-handed. But my soul, I thought that was the most beautiful thing in the world. Had a horn on it. Beep. It lasted, I think, that day. Never beeped again. Who could afford a battery? But I didn't learn to ride that bicycle the first time I got on it. My soul, I ran into everything. I fell off of it. I had skint knees and skint toes and skint heads and skint elbows. But I kept trying. And man, one day I started off, and man, did I go. I've been riding ever since. Walking with God's the same way. There's going to be times you're going to stumble. You're going to falter. But you get up, get down, get right, and get back up again and start walking again. And every time you can walk a little further before there's a stumble. Until one day you can walk. Evidently, old Enoch got over his stumbles. Because God said, you're so good at it, just come on up here and walk with me in heaven alive. What a testimony. I'd like to have a testimony, something like that, wouldn't you? That I walked with God. I had a relationship with God. People could see Jesus in me. I challenge you, if you haven't, make that conscious decision to begin tonight to walk with Him. Now, to do so, you've got to give up your will and yield to His will. To do so, you're going to have to be willing to say, goodbye, world. Lord, what wilt Thou help me to do? You're going to have to keep in touch with Him. You have to learn His word, communion. See, in our communion today with God, we want to do all the talking. But real communication is a two-way thing. You say, I'm willing to listen if God will speak. He has. You can't have a relationship with God and communion with God without this book. I challenge you, begin a walk with God. Say, God, this is it. Today's the day. I'm going to start it. I'm going to become the man You want me to become. I'm going to become the woman, the teenager, the young person. Yes, I've blown it up to this point. I don't know what Enoch's life was like before Methuselah was born. But I know for the next 300 years, the Bible says, he walked with God. He had to make that conscious decision to begin that wonderful, incredible journey, a walk with God. Have you? Father, that's our message. Thank You for this life and the story of this man that walked with You. I pray, oh God, You'd move in our hearts and soul in such a way that there'll be that hunger, that desire, have that relationship, that growing, glowing relationship with You. We'd begin that marvelous walk with You. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's unsaved, let this be that wonderful time when they come and accept You as Savior. If there be someone here tonight that needs to get their heart right with God, help them to come and begin tonight. Lord, bless this invitation. We ask.